Okay, so we're going to wrap up looking at the techniques of OFDM and MIMO, which again are used in the more modern flavors of wireless systems. Okay. So, what, again, you can think about OFDM as a spread spectrum technique in the sense it is sort of spreading the data over, you know, sort of spreading the bandwidth of the data, but it's doing it in such a way that we can pack the channels in quite compactly. Okay. So, as with other spread spectrum techniques, we can use this for a single data stream, or as we'll see later, we can share our channels amongst multiple data streams. And so we'll look first at what we do for single data streams, and here we want to divide a high symbol rate stream into parallel lower symbol rate streams, and we're going to modulate each of those streams onto a separate carrier frequency. We will then need to again deal with inter-symbol interference, but if we're using again longer symbol duration, so we've reduced our bit rate, the inter-symbol interference becomes easier to deal with. Okay, so we're techniques we've looked at before where we're actually increasing our bit rates, which made inter-symbol interference more significant. Now we're decreasing bit rates, and so making that easier to deal with. Okay, so we split signal along multiple different carriers, and so the cleverness with OFDM is how we define the carriers. Okay, and so the idea is that we're going to eliminate the need for non-overlapping channels by selecting subcarriers that are orthogonal to each other over the duration of a bit. So each of these waves represents a carrier transporting a bit. And what we see is that where the peaks are for one carrier is the zeros for the other carriers. So essentially, it makes it easier. It makes it possible to recover each of the individual channels separately. You can pack the carriers in tightly then, because they're not interfering with each other.
Just looking at how that's accomplished. We're essentially sending a pulse over, or limiting
our signal to a bit duration. And so that's represented the Fourier transform of that bit is a sync function where, again, the zeros are multiples of pi over half of the duration. And so we can take this basic signal then and again shift it in the frequency domain by adding a carrier frequency. And again, if we shift it so that the peaks of one symbol are the zeros, the peaks of one channel are the zeros of the other,
the channels won't interfere with each other. Okay. So the amount that we have to shift by is multiples of 1 over 1/2 or 1/2 t, so n over 2 times t. And so that gives us our basic channels or carrier channels over which we'll transmit our symbols. The channels are orthogonal in the sense that we can always recover our original signal without interference from the other signals. And so if we think of having n channels and possibly m bits per being transmitted per channel, then in the complex domain, again, we'll get our transmission is along these carrier frequencies. And if we look at two different carrier frequencies, then again, they're combination is zero. So again, by knowing what channel your signal is coming in on, you can recover your signal. The OFDM signal in general has a finite number of tones, and therefore we can represent it as a discrete Fourier transform. And again, pretty much the only thing we need to know about this is that we can implement that again in hardware, so it's relatively easy to extract your signal. Okay, so we won't really go into sort of deeply into the mathematics, but again, we've got hopefully some sense of how we can again pack in our channels while still spreading the bandwidth. So delay can cause problems. There you can have inter-symbol interference, so interference between one symbol and the previous symbol, but that can be taken into account by adding a guard interval to the signal, so sort of expanding the interval of the signal. And so, just to see how well that works, if we have 1,000 channels and a data stream of 1 megabit per second, so a bit duration of 1 microsecond, then we can
split that. Trying to think which number is correct. Convert that into 1,000 data streams, not 100, 1,000, at a rate of a kilobit per second, and therefore a bit duration of 1 millisecond. Typical guard time to add is an eighth of a symbol duration, which is 125 microseconds. And so by doing this, we can avoid interference if the multipath spreading time is less than the guard time. And you can look at, in this case, you would need a difference of over 37 to have interference. And again, since you're fading the distance, you'd hope that
your signal would be seriously faded by that point. The Doppler effect can also cause problems. Again, we're depending on sort of the frequency of the carrier to and the alignment of frequencies to reduce interference. And so our subcarrier spacing has to be greater than our Doppler spread. And so, as an example, in LTE, there's a maximum speed assumed of 50 kilometers per hour, so that's pretty fast. We have a maximum carrier frequency. This would give us, knowing these, you can figure out what your maximum Doppler shift is. And that is 7% of the subcarrier spacing. So it's reasonably handleable.
Okay.
So again, by just by sort of arranging your spacing in both the time domain and the frequency domain, you can easily compensate for your multipath and your Doppler effects. Like with the spread spectrum techniques, what we see with OFDM is that it's essentially dividing our spectrum into subchannels. And so it's great if a single user uses all of those subchannels. At least it's great for the user. But we can also allocate those subchannels to multiple users. So the technique of doing that is referred to as orthogonal frequency division multiple access. And again, it just allows multiple users to share the same spectrum. There are bit rate implications. Only so much you can pack onto your smaller channels. You can also try and mitigate multipath effects because different users will have different effects on different channels, so you can try and allocate users' channels where their signal is strongest. So again, your channel is used to transmit some signaling elements, and you can make that a single bit or multiple bits. And as we saw at the beginning of our lecture, we can make the change, we can change the signaling element based on our channel conditions. The better our channel conditions are, the more symbols we can try to send over the channel. Okay, so typically, we share the system not only according to our frequency channels, but also in terms of time. We use time division multiple axis as well, so we allocate our frequency over a certain time duration. Okay. And so the time duration is the time it takes to send the signaling element over the channel. And so every time you can change what you can change the assignment of users each time. So typically, we have a single element, which is, again, our carrier frequency plus a time element, and we group those into larger blocks and allow the user to have access over larger blocks. And exactly what number of blocks the user gets is then going to be dependent on the negotiation with the network. Okay, so we'll leave it at just that the network is allowed to do or has the ability to grant different amounts of resources to different users. As we move on and look at sort of specific systems, we'll see sort of on what basis those grants are made. Okay. So again, we have our minimal element, which is the channel over the time it takes to send one signaling element, and then the system groups those together into a number of channels, so a number of frequencies and number of frequencies in this direction and a number of time slots and allocates those to the users. Okay. So, on the uplink, and what we'll see also is that typically uplink, what you can do on the uplink and downlink is different because, again, on the uplink, it's the base station that's doing the decoding, and it has a lot of resources available to do that decoding and the view of the state of the whole system. On downlink, well, the decoding is being done by the end users of the mobile unit, and it has a much more limited view of the
state of the system. So on the uplink, the base station is able to allocate the users and the resources, and then the user can just transmit based on that allocation, and again, the sorting out is done by the base station, so it's relatively straightforward to do. Yeah. Okay, I just should have a downlink slide, but what are the advantages of OFDM? It's a spread spectrum technique, and so only certain channels will be impacted. If a single user gets all of the channels, then that's very useful. If you get less than all of the channels, then you're decreasing the usefulness. Like spread spectrum, you have problems with inter-symbol interference, and you also have to account for now Doppler effects. But in general, OFDM leads to better spectral efficiency, so you can get more bandwidth out of the same amount of space. Okay, or you can get higher bit rates out of the same amount of space. Okay, so you guys can, I just threw that in there, sort of as a summary of CDMA versus OFDM. CDMA is somewhat simpler to implement than OFDM, but as we saw, there are problems with sharing the bandwidth in CDMA that we can improve on with OFDM and OFDMA. Okay. And additionally, OFDM, sort of significantly, OFDM allows the base station or the resource allocator a much greater control over the allocation of spectrum. Okay. So with spread spectrum, so everything's sort of, it is spread over the entire spectrum, but it's done so according to the codes, so it's hard to pinpoint any sort of individual piece of the spectrum. Okay. With OFDM, what we saw is we have the spectrum very defined into these very tight portions, and again, you can allocate those portions individually, or more significantly, you can give a user sort of a contiguous portion of that spectrum. And later on, what we'll see is that possibly the user can use that that contiguous portion in sort of more efficient ways for the user. Okay, so they can they can choose how to use the contiguous spectrum in a way they couldn't if they were just sort of if you couldn't isolate it in that way. Okay. So, again, OFDM is giving us
improved spectral efficiency. We're able to pump more bits through the same frequency bandwidth. MIMO, multiple input, multiple output, allows us to sort of push that even farther. We saw how FDM was defining subchannels, as we would expect based on sort of frequency allocations. MIMO will allow us to define subchannels again within the same basic frequency channel. And it will rely on the characteristics of multipath to do so. Okay. So multipath moves from a problem that we have to deal with to actually being the solution by which we can extract more capacity out of the system. MIMO is not specifically tied to any modulation technique, but again, since OFDM is what's sort of currently in use and it works well with OFDM, the two are frequently tied together. Okay. So MIMO is relying on multipath, and what multipath is giving us is it's allowing us to use what's called space diversity. And again, diversity is any attempt to use multiple aspects of signaling to improve the data quality. And we've seen a number of ways of doing this already. So time diversity, so any form of channel coding that's adding extra information is essentially a form of time diversity. Or a form of redundancy, and so if we send information at different times, we can use that to improve our signal reception or reception of data. frequency diversion, that diversity again, we can use multiple channels to possibly get multiple copies of the data or spread spectrum techniques and improved reception of the data. Space diversity, now we will be using multiple antennas, and each of those antennas will be in somewhat different positions. And what that means is that their received signal is coming in along different paths. Okay. And so we can use the different paths along which we receive our signals to do one of two things. We can improve the quality of our received signal, or we can actually view the different paths as more subchannels. Okay, so we can increase the amount of data that we're sending yet again. Okay, so those two uses are referred to as spatial diversity and spatial multiplexing. And so with spatial diversity, we're sending the same data through different antennas.
but over the same channel. And again, if it's received at multiple antennas, it's received through different paths, and we can try to use the what we know about the paths to improve the overall signal reception. Both transmitter and receiver are going to, in order for that to work, transmitter and receiver have to know exactly what the state of the channel is. And so then the transmitter will try to adjust its signal according to the state of the channel, and again the receiver will try to interpret the signal based on the state of the channel. Okay, so our other option is, again, each pair of antennas has a separate set of paths, a separate set of channel characteristics between the two, and so we can use that to distinguish between different data streams sent along the different channels. So you can use that between a single user and a single sender and receiver to increase the data rate. Or, again, potentially you can distinguish between multiple users and allow multiple users to send data along the same channel. Okay, so again, it's easier to do at access points or base stations because they will have sort of complete information about the whole system. So they will know sort of the channels between all of the users and the characteristics of the channels between all of the users. And so in terms of receiving data from multiple users, you should be able to distinguish between different users. Okay. So in the uplink direction, you can use these MIMO concepts to provide multiple channels amongst different users. Downlink is a bit more difficult because now a single user is having to pick out their signal from other users' signals. And so it's a little bit more primitive, but there are techniques of encoding where the codes are set up so that other information intended for other users essentially can be viewed as noise, and we can try and extract our signal from the noise. Okay. So, to sort of work our way up to MIMO, Well, prior to now, what we've looked at is single input, single output. So we have one transmitter and one receiver. And, there's no diversity processing necessarily possible because we're only getting a single copy. And so everything we've talked about so far, including
capacity limits, apply. If you now have
multiple antennas at the receiver, then again you can start making use of multipath effects. And so, again, the signal would arrive on different, with different characteristics at each of the different antennas. And we can try to use the information from all of the antennas to provide a reasonable representation of our signal. So we can either look for the strongest or take some
weighting of all of the received signals. Okay. Okay, so MIMO now sort of increases our ability to sort of our potential for diversity by having
multiple antennas at the sender and receiver, and allows for some sort of possibly some sort of symmetry between sender and receiver in order to take advantage of improvements. Again, the transmitter is going to have to make some adjustments to the signal sent on. After each of the antennas, you don't send the same signal, but you make adjustments based on your channel characteristics. So both sender and receiver now have to have fairly good processing power. These techniques can, again, be used in conjunction with redundancy for time conversions or redundancy techniques. So, obviously, you can use both spatial and temporal diversity at the same time. In particular, you can allow different antennas to transmit the data at different times. Okay, so change the order in which you transmit the data. And so, again, any block of data is going to be received along a different channel at many different times. And again, you can try to use this to improve the reception characteristics. Okay. Now, if we return to our MIMO, just spatial encoding, then we can view what we're doing, our spatial diversity, as splitting the frequency channel into a number of subchannels. So you're in the same bandwidth, but now depending on the path characteristics, therefore the reception characteristics, you have different distinguished signals that you can distinguish one from the other. And so what this does is it actually allows you to improve the capacity beyond that of Shannon. So Shannon just says, you know, again, if you have a single channel, your capacity is limited by the bandwidth and the noise. Now, theoretically, within that same bandwidth, if you have N distinguishable channels, you can, each one can carry the capacity.
So, again, you've in that way you're squeezing a lot more
capacity out of your system. Yeah. One issue is exactly what's N, practically what N can be, but theoretically it gives you a
much expanded limit. So,
again, the basic idea, well, we'll just assume that we have M transmitting antennas and N receiving antennas, and so, obviously, any signal sent by any antenna is then received by over a combination of all of the sent signals is received by each of the receiving antennas, again with different path characteristics. So we let H I J do the path characteristics between transmitting antenna I and receiving antenna J, and therefore we can represent our received signal as a matrix of these path characteristics times our transmitted signals.
Okay. And so, to recover the signal, what we'd want to do is invert H.
Whether it's possible to invert it or not, it may depend on the characteristics of the antennas. But in reality, we have also a noise component. So we'll use some technique like minimal mean square error to recover the signal. So again, theoretically, you can recover different,
M different signals from the combination. So, as long as you're able to recover different signals, well, then it doesn't really matter whether one person is sending those signals or lots of different people are sending those signals. Okay. So, with multi-user MIMO, different people are sending the signals, and the different transmissions are again distinguished by the channel characteristics. Okay. So this is quite useful in the uplink direction. Again, the base station receiving the signal can assign different channels to different users and track the channel state information and be able to distinguish between the different users. Importantly, the users don't need a lot of antennas to make this work. So they can send along a single antenna or a couple of antennas. And then the receiver will have more antennas to do the reception. And so the complexity is at the receiving end. Again, this is our fixed, base station where we have whatever processing power we need available to us. The transmitters, again, don't have to do anything terribly complicated. They could, indeed, they could have a single antenna, and this would still work. Okay, it's more complicated for users in the downlink direction. Well, that would need at least the they do need multiple antennas, and they need to have some idea of how to decode the information. And again, typically this is done by sort of prearranged coding, which will sort of allow the users to distinguish between interference and data, and extract the data from the intended data from the combined signal. Okay, but again, it's relying on the potential encoding of the signals. So the most common technique for this is dirty paper coding, and I'm not really going to go into the details, but if you're curious, you can look it up. Okay. So, again, in LTE, what we see is that the assumption is that mobile users will have a single antenna. We talked about allocating resource blocks. Now, we can allocate those resource blocks to multiple users, and at the base station, we can distinguish between those users. In the downlink direction, well, if you're going to have multiple antennas for the user, the receiver, and this is usually done in a fairly small way, and typically it's used for spatial diversity, so just for sort of redundancy of signaling rather than splitting things into separate channels. Okay, so that's a very whirlwind overview of particularly MIMO. And I mention it because it is OFDM and MIMO are core now to wireless transmission systems. They are the techniques used. There's quite a lot of clever sort of theory going on behind it, but it's not yet. That would be more appropriate to a signal processing class. We're just, again,
looking at the various wireless systems and how they work. So were you sticking at more or less just what are the characteristics of OFDM and MIMO signaling?
So next week I want to get you started on the assignments. Again, there'll be two. The first one's really, you know, they're based on NS3, so the first one's really just learning how to work the simulator. And then the second one, use what you've learned in the first one to actually think more critically about sort of performance in wireless systems. So what I'm having you simulate is a Wi-Fi network. So next week, I'll give you an introduction to Wi-Fi, and then I'll have the demonstrator in, and he can talk to you about the simulator. I think he might bring like a disk that you can use to load it onto your laptops if you want to work at home. So you might bring whatever equipment you have.
Is it available on Windows or is it Linux only?
There's a way of you can set up a virtual environment. So you don't have to install Linux on your laptop. You can set up something virtual, but it is Linux-based, yes. But, yeah, again, if you're not worried too much about speed, then there's no reason you need to be. Mm-hmm. You just have a virtual environment and run it on top of that.
And it's on the computers and labs on the second floor, is it?
Yes. Yeah, no, the thing it might not be on every single one, but if you check around, it's definitely on some of them. I think it's the ones along the wall.
And it's command line only, isn't it? NS3.
There's no
GUI here.
Yeah, there is.
Is there?
Well, talk to the demonstrator anyway and see if he has any good ideas. Okay, so I will see you guys next week.